ओम ज्ञानति निबंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर नीलचंद्रेण तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. 18, text 63, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Te jnanam akhyatam guhyad guhyataram maya vimrishyaitad asheshena yatechasi patakuru. Comes at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's been explaining transcendental knowledge to Arjuna. At the end, he offers Arjuna the choice. Do what you want to do. Having heard everything, you should decide what to do. So this is our position also. We're supposed to hear spiritual knowledge. Any human being is supposed to hear spiritual knowledge. Human being doesn't mean just two legs, two arms, and a mouth in which you put some food and cigarettes, and he's not a human being. Human being means atato brahma jignasa. Now we have reached the human form of life, we should inquire into the spiritual reality. Otherwise, human beings, they have the same animal functions as ahara nidra bhayamaitanam cha samana netat pashubhyanaranam. Humans and animals eat, sleep, mate, and defend. So human being means one who makes inquiry into the absolute truth. Now having heard this subject matter, we should decide how to act. Arjuna was being put on the spot. He had refused to fight. I won't fight. Nayotsa iti govindam. I will not fight. He declared, point blank, I'm not going to fight. But then he thought, wait a minute. Should I fight or shouldn't I fight? He didn't know what to do. So he asked Krishna to advise him. Krishna is his spiritual master. So Krishna, we hear this term spiritual master, we hear that you should do as your spiritual master tells you. But we see that Krishna is instructing Arjuna, he's giving him knowledge to bring him to a higher platform of consciousness. Arjuna was in mundane consciousness, thinking, I am this body, I don't want to fight, I don't want this, I want to do that. He was in mundane consciousness, on the platform of false ego. This Krishna addresses that if out of false ego you don't want to fight, just before he's saying this, that before he said, I won't fight. Now Krishna explained why you don't want to fight, because you're simply on the false ego, ahankar platform of being a morally good person, I don't want to fight. So are you still on that platform? So Krishna wants to bring Arjuna to a higher platform. We say spiritual master means you should follow his instruction. But it's not that the spiritual master makes you into a robot. Do this, do that, do this, do that. You should follow the order of the spiritual master, but the spiritual master means guru, means he gives knowledge by which you come to a higher platform. It's not that the spiritual master just makes you into like a child. A child may be told by the mother, do this, don't do that. But as he grows up, he's given knowledge. A child has to be educated so that he can come to a higher platform. It's not that when he's 25 years old, the mother still has to take the spoon and put the food in the mouth. Or not that the mother has to, at that stage, should not have to say, don't tell lies, behave nicely. That training should be there in childhood. Then why you should behave nicely, all that training should be there. So that the child is no longer a child. What is the difference between a child and an adult? It's not simply that the body develops, but the mind should develop also. It means the consciousness should develop. That an adult has an adult intelligence, a sense of discrimination. A child, like an animal, doesn't discriminate. If a child sees some food, I like that he immediately puts his hand to take it. It may not even be food, it may be some poison in the bottom, but it looks nice, some white liquid, it looks like milk, it may be some poisonous substance. So the child has no sense of understanding what is right, what is good for me, what is bad for me, what is proper social behavior, but he's trained so that as he grows older, he can make the right decision without the parent having to stand next to him and teach him, tell him at every moment, do this, do that, do this, don't do that. So in the same way, spiritual training means to bring us to a higher platform of knowledge. So that even if you are not with this spiritual master at every moment, which is not possible for everybody anyway, but you take the training so that we can discriminate on the spiritual platform. On the material platform or the social platform, we're taught proper social behavior. And on the spiritual platform, we are taught what is proper spiritual behavior. So that every moment we can be guided by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra to act in the proper way for spiritual elevation. Those principles, what is the principle of spiritual elevation? That is described by Krishna just after this. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, think of me, become my devotee. Sarvadhamam pratityajama mekam sharanam raja, surrendering everything to me, which means even tenets of social behavior. Sometimes in Krishna bhakti, generally not, but sometimes even tenets of ordinary social behavior may be discarded or overturned. Especially in the higher stages of bhakti, you see, just like the gopis, they are famous as the topmost devotees because they broke all the Vedic injunctions. Most important Vedic injunction for a woman is she should be faithful to her husband. The gopis broke that. But they're famous as the topmost devotees. Now that doesn't mean that every woman should think, oh, I'll be a gopi and I'll be unfaithful to my husband. Or every man should think, I'll kick out my wife and this way I'll become the topmost devotee. No. That's why we have to study very carefully. What is the message of Shastra? What is appropriate for one person may not be appropriate for another person. That also requires some intelligence to know how to act in every situation so that Krishna will be satisfied. What one person may do and what another person may do, it may not be the same for every person. That we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his very dear devotee, Shivananda Sen, came to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So Shivananda Sen was Grihastha. So he introduced that now my wife is expecting. Actually we don't, in strict Vedic culture, you don't say these things to a sannyasi. But there is a relationship of love. Because Shivananda Sen and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are a very close relationship of love and affection. So he said like this. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, very good, when he's born, this child you call, give the name Puridas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows a boy is going to be born. So he said, give the name Puridas. Very nice. Later that Puridas became known as Kavi Karnapur. He wrote beautiful poetry describing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and describing the pastimes of Krishna. So, that was Shivananda Sen, Grihastha devotee. Now another of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, Chota Haridas, he was a Vairagi, not exactly a sannyasi, but he had renounced this world, he was living as a renunciate. So, this Chota Haridas, once he had some lusty feeling in his mind. He didn't engage in sex life. He didn't approach or flirt with any woman. Just in his mind, there was some thought like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately rejected him. Now you see, on the one hand, there's Grihastha. He's introducing, my wife is expecting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, very good. Very nice. Give him such and such name. On the other hand, Vairagi, sannyasi. Even the thought, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. So what is appropriate for one person may not be appropriate for someone else. So it requires some intelligence to understand how to act at every moment in Krishna consciousness. Some guidelines are given. Just like this, Savadhaman Pavittaja, Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Krishna says, take shelter of me. How to take shelter of Krishna? There are six principles. Anukalyasya, Sankalpa, the decision, the firm resolve to perform activities which are favorable for advancement in Krishna consciousness. And Pratikulyasya, Bharjanam, to give up any activity which is detrimental for our progress in Krishna consciousness. Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso, the firm faith that Krishna will protect me, and similar to that, Gopritve Varanam Tata, to accept Krishna is my maintainer. Atma Nikshepa, to surrender to Krishna with one's body, mind and words, engage them all in Krishna's service. And Karapanye, humility. These are the six, Shardavidha Sharanagati. These are the six divisions of surrender. So one has to learn what is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness. What is pleasing to Krishna? What does Krishna want? Now this has to be understood very carefully from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, particularly from Guru. Shastra gives directions. But exactly what is appropriate for us and how we should understand it, that is spoken by Guru. Now that doesn't mean that the Guru simply talks any nonsense he likes. But Guru speaks also according to Shastra and according to Sadhu. It means according to previous acharyas in the Sampradaya. And according to present elevated devotees also. But we have to learn this very carefully, otherwise we may misunderstand. There's an example given in this regard of inappropriate application of instruction. That there was a horse who was choking. He had a big swelling in his throat and he was choking. So they called in the horse doctor, veterinary surgeon. So he got a stick and he started beating on the throat. And eventually the swelling went away and the horse was all right. So then there was his assistant was there. So his assistant, it means he should be trained for many years. But he thought, I don't want to study anymore. I learned so many things from my guru. Horse doctor guru. So I'll go off and be a doctor myself. So without taking any permission, he went off and different villages advertised, I'm a veterinary surgeon. So they brought one horse with a swelling. He said, I know what to do. So he started beating in the throat with a stick and the horse died. And all the people chased him out of the village. So he went back to the guru and said, what happened? I saw one horse, his throat was swelling, you beat with a stick and he got cured, and I did exactly the same thing and he died. So that expert doctor went to the village and saw. He said, you're a fool. He said to his disciple, you're a fool. First you're a fool because you left me without taking full training. You see, that horse that I beat, he swallowed some melon. It was stuck in his throat. So I beat it so the melon got broken down and he could swallow it. The problem was solved. But this other horse that you beat that had some swelling the gland was swollen, there was some infection. When you beat it, you simply kill the horse. So it may seem that yes, you just follow, but it also requires intelligence to understand what is appropriate in the situation. What does Krishna actually want? Now, how are you going to get that intelligence? You have to follow Guru, but even how to follow Guru, that requires some intelligence. What does Guru actually want? What does Krishna want? Similar example, that you may do something which you think is pleasing to the Guru, but it may not be. Sometimes Prabhupada, he used to ask his disciple, bring me a glass of water. And they bring a glass of milk. They think milk is better than water. Prabhupada said, I wanted water. That's why I said water. So exactly how to understand, that requires some sincerity. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are actually very sincere to serve Krishna with love, Krishna gives the intelligence to know what to do. Here we're discussing, Krishna is saying, you decide what to do. He is the spiritual master of Arjuna. He's giving the direction. Savadhaman parittaja mame kam sharanam. You surrender to me. But he's giving the choice. Do you want to fight or not fight? It's up to you. I'm giving the direction, you should fight. If you want, you don't have to fight, you can refuse. See, the Guru, he's all through the Gita. Krishna is giving knowledge, and then Arjuna is asking questions. It's an exchange. Krishna wants to see that Arjuna understands why he's doing what he's doing. That's why there's an exchange of questions. In the very beginning, Krishna could tell Arjuna, just do what I say. And Arjuna could say, yes, alright. But if he doesn't understand why he's doing what he's doing, then in the middle of a great test, he may again falter. And before the battle begins, he's faltering. No, no, I don't want to fight. So Krishna could just tell him, look, fight, I'm telling you. So he can do that, but in the middle of battle, if again he falters, and he thinks, no, no, I don't want to fight, then he can be easily defeated. So before the battle, Krishna is fixing his mind by giving proper instruction. Then he has to go and fight. In the middle of battle, there's no time to think, should I do it or should I not do it? You have to be convinced. There's no way out. If you're not convinced, you're going to be defeated. So similarly, we have to go in this world and be Krishna conscious. We have to be convinced why we are doing what we're doing. Otherwise, there may be so many tests. So many tests will come. Maya will tempt us in so many ways. Maya may try to break our faith. Maya is always trying to take away our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. But if we're properly educated, what is the nature of Maya? What is the nature of service to Krishna? What does Krishna want? How does Krishna want me to surrender to Him? Then we can be a good representative of our spiritual master and a good, faithful devotee of Krishna in any circumstance. If we take the proper training, if we hear nicely, Arjuna asked so many questions, Krishna answered them. But this is the correct path. Why bhakti, surrender to Krishna, is supreme? There is karma, there is jnana, there is yoga. But above them all is bhakti, surrender to Krishna. Why? Krishna explains fully. What are the benefits of worshipping different demigods? What is the benefit of surrendering to Krishna? Krishna makes the distinction. There is a difference. It's not all the same. And at the end, he gives Arjuna the test. What do you want to do? You want to surrender to me? Or even having heard all these instructions, do you want to do as you like? So that also applies to us, that we may be hearing all these nice instructions and reading so many books and absorbing spiritual knowledge, but ultimately it's not simply a matter of philosophizing. You may study so many books and quote so many shlokas, but the ultimate test will be, are we surrendering to Krishna or not? How we apply that knowledge practically in our lives? Two people may read the same book, and they may be trained by the same guru, but they may have a different understanding. One person's understanding or his interpretation may be completely away from the path of bhakti, even though he's purporting to be a bhakta. So how can we know what is the actual path? Guru, sadhu, shastra teaches us. They don't teach in a roundabout way, very straightforwardly. It's very clear what we should do, that we should surrender to Krishna. It's very clear, it's made very clear. Now we may have some different ideas, sometimes people invent different ideas. But now we'll invent some new Maha Mantra or something like this. So we should know by hearing the message of Krishna, we should learn to discriminate between what is proper and what is not proper, and learn to apply that in our lives. That requires some intelligence also. Which kind of intelligence? That spiritual intelligence that is given by Krishna. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. If we are very sincere to come to Krishna, Krishna will give us the intelligence by which we can come to Him. It's not exactly the same as material intelligence. It's not that because someone has a good material education or a high IQ that he can understand spiritual knowledge. It's not, the two things don't necessarily go together. Of course, if one has got a good IQ and he's good at studies, then he should be able to study Shastra better. But the essence of Shastra, the essence of understanding Shastra doesn't actually come from any material ability, but that is revealed to the sincere devotee. Yasya deve parabhakte yata deve tatakuru tatsaite katita hyata prakashante mahatmana. One who is sincere to serve Guru and Krishna and who has firm faith in Guru and Krishna, to him all the purports of Vedic knowledge are revealed within the heart by Krishna. Whereas someone else, he may be very learned in Shastra, may be able to quote so many things, but if, despite his material intelligence, if he is not actually very sincere to understand Krishna, then he'll misunderstand. And even quoting Shastra, he won't understand, or he may have so many doubts. Whereas one who has firm faith in Guru and Krishna, everything becomes clear. What we have to do, how we have to surrender to Krishna, that we have to surrender to Krishna. So everyone has this choice. Ultimately we have to act. Ultimately we have to say, yes Krishna, I want to surrender to you. I will surrender to you. Please help me to surrender to you. This is the choice Arjuna is being given now. Now what do you want to do? Now we had so much philosophical discussion. Now what are you going to do? Now it's time for the battle to begin. Now we had so much talk. Now the talk is over. What are you going to do? Are you going to surrender or not? And of course Arjuna accepted. He surrendered. And he became a glorious example of pure devotion to Krishna by following Krishna's instruction. So this is the example for all of us to take. To follow Krishna's instruction, despite all difficulties, with the faith that Krishna will help us to cross over all difficulties if we have faith in Him, if we actually want to serve Him. If we actually want to serve Krishna, there is no impediment. We may complain in so many ways. Well, I'm not in such a good position to serve, or I want to serve, but so and so wants to stop me. No. If we're actually serious to serve Krishna, nothing can stop us. We will serve Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? How to identify a guru and how to approach. How to identify that tadvidjnanatam sakaram eva abhigacchat shrotriyam brahmanishtam. There are two basic symptoms given of Guru. He should be shrotriyam, that means he should have heard himself from a proper Guru. That means he should be in parampara. And brahmanishtam means not only has he heard that knowledge, but he is himself fixed in that knowledge with realization. These are the basic symptoms given of Guru. And how to approach a Guru? With humility, panipatena, hariprashna, asking relevant questions, and with a service attitude. If you want to know about this subject in detail, there is one book, I hope we have it here. It's called The Spiritual Master and the Disciple. It's all taken from Prabhupada's books. So you can read that. But the basic principle is, Guru means he is coming in the proper parampara, he has absorbed that knowledge, he acts himself according to that knowledge, and he's competent to give that knowledge to others. Can you have more than one Guru? You can have one Diksha Guru and many Shiksha Gurus. Any number of Shiksha Gurus. And Diksha Guru is one. So yes, there are many Gurus. Is it for the disciple to decide? Not exactly decide, is that I have decided you will be my Guru. You must be my Guru. He has to humbly approach. And if he's so fortunate, then Guru may accept it, not that he's decided. Now, come here, you have to be my Guru. Not like that. You have to approach humbly. Depend upon Guru, depend upon Krishna. Glorifying Guru and glorifying Krishna. What is the difference? Guru is the representative of Krishna. So, our dependence upon Krishna will be demonstrated by depending upon Guru. What does it mean, depend? It is not the same thing that, yes, I will lie down here and Guru will solve all my problems. I'm depending. But depending means to take the instruction and apply it in our lives with the faith that this instruction will benefit me. Glorifying Guru and glorifying Krishna, both should go on. It's not that we only glorify Guru and forget Krishna, because Guru is telling us to glorify Krishna. So if we only glorify Guru, then what is the meaning? Guru is teaching us to glorify Krishna. So both things are there. Guru should be glorified, Krishna should be glorified. Again, the real glorification is not simply words, which should be there also,